Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I've got to try to assess the whole thing over the next little while. Certainly, what I will say is that I have so much respect for the group of players that we have. We have great people. They're character guys. They're good players. And our coaching staff has a lot of respect for this group. It's a privilege to coach this team. But having said that, we have high expectations as well.
Well, two disappointments in the playoffs in a row after two cups. Do you worry that the summer this team might look a little different coming up?
You know, you would think that, you know, like we lost 2 years in a row. And, you know, like I said, we'll see what happens here coming summer.
Mike Sullivan on changes after getting swept, and Phil Kessel on his Penguins future right there. 93.7 The Fan time is 3:05. Time to get 25% off Cool Sculpting at the Skin Center. Our Penguins insider, Jason Mackey, followed this team all year, and now we're going to get some thoughts from him on how this team will look different for next year. Jason, let's start with the appetite for change. Do you think the Penguins are looking at this series and just thinking they ran into a bad matchup, it happens, bad luck? Or do you think they'll take this sweep and look at themselves much harder and usher in some real change this offseason?
I think it's absolutely the latter, Andrew. I think they're going to usher in some real change. I think, you know, it's kind of a sobering reality for the Penguins where they are in relation to the rest of the league. I don't think in any way are they going to look at this and say, oh, we just ran into a better team, so what? You know, we'll get them next year. That's not the attitude of this team. It's never been the attitude of this team and the general manager. I mean, if anything, you could pick apart him being a little too aggressive at times. So, no, I do think they're going to look for ways. And I've talked to him a lot about this over the past, you know, year and a half or whatever. I mean, Jim Rutherford, obviously, meaning one of his biggest challenges here as general manager is to find a way to extend the championship window with Crosby and Malkin, and this is the year to do it. And so they're going to undergo some changes this season, this offseason, maybe significant changes in order to do that.
It's hard for me, Jason, to see a path forward, I'll be honest, because they have onerous contracts that'll be tough to offload. Even the ones they can offload, because of maybe, you know, limited no movement clauses, are going to kind of restrict the return you could get. I see a bunch of bad contracts or a bunch of tough to move contracts, and I, even in hockey, where I know this sort of thing can suss out very quickly and suddenly, it feels like they are very much between a rock and a hard place as far as getting better.
I don't know if I agree with the assessment that they're in a real tough spot here, Chris. I do think they have some tough decisions to make, but if you're going to tell me that they green light moving Phil Kessel, which, you know, for the right return, I do believe they will do. If they go forward with that mindset, I mean, they're not looking to go get, you know, three first-round picks or something insane like that. Like you heard Burnside on Jeff's update, I mean, the win is getting the cap space out of there. And so I think they can do that if they're not too worried about return. If we look on defense, you have Eric Branson and Olimata each making more than $4 million. I would not expect them to stay. Olimata, I mean, he's won a couple of cups. He's only 24 years old. You can't say a bad thing about the kid's work ethic or character or anything like that. There's somebody who's going to want that on their team. I truly believe that. And you know, Patrick Hornquist, probably a tough one to move. I don't know if you want to, if you're convinced his concussion issues are behind him. I know that's a big question mark. Chris Letang, probably the same deal with his injury situation and being tough to move. But I don't think they're screwed. I mean, that's kind of the thing I took away from what you're saying. I mean, you have some contracts you can move.
If you had to pick one major trade chip that leaves the organization this summer, Chris Letang or Phil Kessel, who would you bet is out the door?
Based on what they want to do or what I think they're going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go with Kessel at that point. And I think it's just an easier deal to make, Andrew. I think, you know, if I'm an acquiring team, I'm looking at Chris Letang and some of what he's done wrong, some of what he's done well, what he makes, what his injury history is, his age. I'm just not taking that contract. I think Kessel, you know, for the right team, somebody who needs a guy who can score goals, maybe not do anything else, but he can score some goals. Maybe you need a bit of a quirky personality in your room. Maybe you need, you know, a guy who's been there before. I think he could still help a team.
See, I'd like
and
to
you
trade,
know he's going to show up and play.
I'd like to trade Letang before Kessel if I had my
I know
brothers.
You would. I know you would, and I don't disagree with. I'm not saying it's the right move or the wrong move. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but if you're going to ask me what the more likely move is for the front office, I think it's to trade Kessel.
How much time do they feel they have left where Evgeny Malkin, the front office I mean here, do they feel where they have Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby playing at a, in Crosby's case, top five player in the league level, in Malkin's case, I know he had a down year, let's say top 20 player in the league. Do they feel they have several more years of that still?
They do. They do. And I don't know if they're right or wrong for that, but I, you know, the sense I get being around them is that they're not, they don't have a definitive end to this thing. They're not saying, well, we got three more good years, we got to make the best of them. Like, they're not there. And maybe they should be. I mean, I look at Malkin's game and some of what he's done this season. I mean, I don't have any question whether Sidney Crosby's going to be productive probably into his mid to late 30s. The way he plays, it's fine. Malkin, is he dropping off? I think it might be a fair question to wonder based on some of what he did and didn't do this season. And so, you know, as far as having both of those guys in their absolute primes at this time, maybe you are looking at 3 or 4 years. But what I can tell you is, from their standpoint, there hasn't been any sort of, you know, hard planning with, like, this is when it's going to end. They're not thinking like that.
Do you think Mike Sullivan's preference would be to have Chris Letang back next year?
I think it is. Yeah, I think he would like to have Letang back because at Letang's best, I do think he gives the Penguins exactly what they want and exactly what they need. I think the problem is you're not getting that enough, and I don't know why they're not getting that enough. I'm not sure if Mike Sullivan knows why they're not getting that enough, and that's going to be one of his biggest tasks, to figure out how to get Letang consistent and in that position more often than he has been.
Can I make an argument that you can respond to one way or the other about Letang? I don't believe him to be a player that will ever be made consistent. I heard him before this series start talk about, he said all the right things, knowing what the Islanders were all about as a team, a counterattacking team that waited for you to get suckered in and make a mistake. He said everything you would want to hear a player in his position say. Then he went out full space cadet mode on multiple occasions and cost them a lead last night, cost them goals. Why at almost 32 years old should anybody believe he's going to change?
Fair point, Chris. And I can't make a huge counter-argument to that because, I mean, honestly, before Mike Sullivan, before Mike Johnston, I mean, this has been a problem for years with Chris Letang, and that he just does whatever the heck he wants to do. And he's so darn talented that half the time he's able to do it. But when he isn't able to do it, it looks like it does in this series. I think the argument, though, if I was able to sort of, like, you know, cobble one together, would be, look, this is the way it works out when you don't play the way we want you to. When you play the way we want you to, you have a Norris Trophy level season. And in order for us to win another cup, which surely you want to do, you're a huge part of this. So we need you to buy in. And if you don't, we're going to be losing in 4 to the Islanders and looking like a bunch of goofs doing it. So if a player can't receive that message, I mean, shoot, I would at that point look to trade him. But I would have the confidence that he would respond if the ultimate goal is to win more.
We're talking to Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider. He's on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business. If a team called on Evgeny Malkin, would the Penguins listen?
I think they would listen, but I think it would have to be just, I don't know, insane of an offer. I think Jim Rutherford at this point is in, well, no, I don't want to say that, because if I say, oh, Jim Rutherford's in listen on everybody mode, then that's going to sound a certain way, and that's not right. But it would have to be just borderline insane for them to even consider it, and I really don't think it's ever going to happen.
If a team called on Dominic Simone, would Mike Sullivan disconnect the phone?
Yeah, he might go around PPG Paints Arena changing the numbers to every office. I don't know what they do with Simone, guys. I mean, I know there's like a kind of kernel.
Assuming
of truth
focus
in
all
there.
The marketing efforts for 2020 around him. He's the centerpiece of everything. Assume that he's going to get $10 million a year, right? Pay him based on his expected goals generated.
The SSI,
the Sullivan Simone index that we came up with yesterday, where he's just the leading player in the league in the Mike Sullivan Dominic Simone index.
Oh, goodness. I mean, they have to find a useful role for this guy. He's going to be on the team. And you can't trade him, right? I mean, what marketability does he have elsewhere? And
well, if you believe that the Nerds are running front offices now, his Corsi numbers were so good, maybe a team would actually take him.
I would love to sit Sam Ventura down in a room, the former War on Ice developer and their analytics guy, and say, like, do you believe this? Really? Like, I don't know. I mean, I can understand the analytics, and we've talked about this, but if you're not putting the puck in the net, how are you continually getting top 6 minutes? I don't understand it. But at the same time, I mean, the guy's under contract. Can't really do anything with him. You're not going to, like, buy out Dominic Simone. You got to find a useful spot for him, and that's going to be a challenge for them too.
Did they have any idea? Like, try to take me back through the timeline here because I'm trying to remember it myself. What was Patrick Hornquist's injury history when he signed the extension? Had he had any concussions at that point, Jason?
Yeah, he has.
So he had a couple when they signed him to that big extension.
I want to say he has had three with the Penguins when they signed him to that extension. Because I know he's had five since December of 2014, and two of them came this season. His extension was February 2018. I don't remember a concussion between then and this season. I could be missing something. I want to say that he had three with the Penguins, and I don't know his concussion history with Nashville or like what he did in Sweden or anything like that. But, I mean, five since 2014, I don't care what you did before it, you could have had none, to me is alarming. And the fact that his production dropped off as quickly as it did after this latest one, 3 goals in 39 games, he had 15 in his first 34. I mean, he did nothing. He's done nothing since the latest concussion. And I know they're going to sit there and tell us probably tomorrow that there are no concerns about Patrick Hornquist's head. But if that's the case, then there has to be a concern about Patrick Hornquist's production. I mean, if this was just, you know, average Joe player and his production went from 15 and 34 to 3 and 39, that would be a problem.
Do you think that it's 100% certainty that Jack Johnson's back with the Penguins?
No, I don't think it's 100% certain. I don't think it's likely he's moved, but I don't think that's because the Penguins would be unwilling to do it. I think other teams would be unwilling to take that contract. Mm. I just don't see, based on what he did this season, why if you're an acquiring team, you're going to say, yeah, I'll take four more years of that. Sign me up. You know, I mean, other teams watch games too. Other teams chart stats too. You would have a tough time painting a favorable picture of this guy.
Well, I'm thinking of a Simone joke when you talk about his advanced stats and Jack Johnson, but it's neither here nor there. This is another kind of random going back question. When Jack Johnson was in any kind of free agent discussions, did you get a sense that any team was anywhere near the Penguins in terms of either term or amount or both?
Yes, and I think it's interesting which teams those were. As I understand it, with Johnson, the Penguins were bidding against two other teams, the Anaheim Ducks and the Detroit Red Wings. We're not talking about the best decision makers out there, and I'm not sure why the Ducks or the Red Wings were that hot after Jack Johnson. But also, as I understand it, I mean, it was a matter of, you know, how much he needs to make, total contract value, what those teams were offering. I think they were offering more yearly, and the Penguins didn't want to go that high on a yearly cap hit, so they added the fifth year, thinking if it goes awry, they can just wiggle out of it the way Rutherford has done in the past. But yes, it wasn't the type of thing where they just like blindly threw an offer there. They were bidding against a few other teams.
All right, last one from us for today, Jason, and thanks for giving us so much time during this run. Mike Sullivan's contract runs through 2019-2020. So in theory, if he wanted to feel like he was on firm ground, he would get a contract extension this summer. What do you think happens?
Yeah, that's a real good one. I mean, I honestly have a tough time seeing them extend Sullivan, but even if they do, I would imagine that in the first 20 games of the 2019-2020 season, if things go poorly, that's just going to end up being, you know, money that the Penguins have to pay a coach. But they've been down that road before with having to pay a coach to sit around and do nothing. I would imagine they'd like to avoid it. Now, that being said, if the Penguins get off to a really hot start in 2019-2020, you'll see the guy get extended again. I think, you know, they want this guy to be the coach of the team. They have faith that he will be the right coach for the team. It's just a tough spot, you know, based on what they're dealing with right now, to go re-up a guy for 3 years and then have that potentially be, you know, a whole bunch of money that they're on the hook for. So I think it's going to have to be a wait-and-see thing based on how quickly they flamed out.
Jason, just yes or no, can I say with confidence, or is it okay for me to tell Penguins fans on Twitter who get mad and say, well, who would you replace Sullivan with, that should not be an issue? Is that not one of the weakest arguments if he were to start next season poorly? Well, who would you replace him with? He was the replacement guy. He was a minor league coach with a very mild pro track record at the highest level. Is that not a ridiculous argument when you hear somebody say, if you get rid of Sullivan, who comes in?
Yeah, I can't answer this in one word, but I'll try to be as quick with it as possible.
I didn't really ask it in a one-word way. Sorry.
That's all right. No, hockey's a funny sport, man. I mean, Mike Sullivan, if he got fired, he'd probably have a job by the end of the day. It wouldn't be a problem. He's that coveted around the league. But sometimes, I mean, things just run their course, and players tune out a coach. I don't think that's where we're at with the Penguins, but if they go, you know, and play like crap for the first 20 games of next season, maybe that's where we will be. And it's all about being the right coach for the team, not necessarily a qualified enough coach, because Mike Sullivan is that.
All right, Jason, go to locker cleanout day and then take a little bit of time off, all right?
All right, gentlemen, thank you for having me all season. It's always a pleasure.
Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.